If you have your Bibles today, if you would open them up to Luke 24, I'm going to be reading that for you before we go into the passage. But as we read that, I want you to notice that this account happened the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? You need to keep that in mind just to put it in context. And it also happened going towards sunset. So keep that in mind. So Luke 24, verses 13 to 25. It says, now that same day, that first Easter Sunday, two men were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe that all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over, so he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Excuse me. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. They found the 11 and those with them assembled and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen. He's appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. May God add his blessing to the word. There's something that I do commonly that I just want to get back to the beginning of the passage. When I work with people, Christ followers, particularly in the discipleship process, I commonly ask them to do a timeline of their lives for several purposes. One of which is to see how Jesus sought them in their life's journey. And I think that's crucial. We don't seek Jesus. He comes after us. And a lot of times we don't realize that, but biblically that's true. And we'll talk more about it in a second. The second reason is to give them a sense of how Jesus is leading them now and what his will might be for their lives now. So if you allow me a brief portion of time, I want to give you my own timeline in this regard, right? Just to show you how gracious God is. And this whole message about let God open our hearts ought to be a response to his incredible grace and love for us. as I look back on my timeline, as a child, and I'm sure my brother might remember some of this too, I can remember my mother listening to guys like Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, and I didn't pay much attention. And she used to read a Bible at night, but I still didn't pay much attention. And I guess I was maybe 10, 11, 12 years old back then. And, you know, I was more interested in playing with stuff. And I didn't give any thought until one day in college when a young man asked if he could sit at the table at dinner with me and said, can we talk? And I said, sure. And I thought he was going to talk about baseball or something like that because it was the spring. And he started asking me spiritual questions. So one of the questions he asked me was, do you think there's life after death? And I said, you know, I really don't know. And he said to me, well, you mind if I talk to you about Jesus? And I said, yeah, I do. I said, I really don't want to talk about this. And he says, well, I'm not going to press you on this, but let's just chat. And at that point, I said, if you don't stop, I'm going to throw you out. It's true. Just giving you the honest story. And he politely said, look, I didn't mean to offend you. He got up and he moved to another table. And so I look back then to after I graduated from college, and I was hired at a company together with another fellow by the name of Ed Tafalowski. And we had established a friendship and all. But in the interim, I was dating Mary Lou. We subsequently got engaged. And Ziffarelli came out with the series Jesus of Nazareth. How many of you saw that? Okay. Boy, I'm getting old. Not many of you. If it's on again, you need to see it. It's a long series, but it's worth it. And I did something I would never have done before in my life. When that series was on, I watched it from the beginning to the end. I don't know what kept me glued to it. I mean, I do know now, but there was something about that where I saw Jesus in a different light than just in the Bible, I guess. And so I saw how he responded to the outcasts, the prostitute, the lepers, the sinners, and he liked to be with sinners. And that was another part of my journey. Well, about 18 months later, and after a lot of prayer on the part of Ed Tafalowski's part, we had dinner with him and his now wife, Jeannie, who, by the way, is Margie Clune's sister. At that dinner, I started raising questions. Mary Lou and I both started raising questions about this Jesus. And Ed and Jeannie just took us through very subtly. And they invited us to church the next day. Now, we didn't leave their house until about a little after midnight that night. And I woke up and I said to Mary Lou, let's go to church today. And she said, you feel okay? And I said, yeah. I said, I'd like to go. She said, I would too. So we came down. We were invited to church right in Community Hall down here. Right, Gail? And when we walked in, it was the beginning of November. Joey was about 18, not even 18 months old at that point. We came in, and this guy with a beard came up to me, about this tall, and he said, "I'm Rob." I said, "I'm Lou," and this is Mary Lou. And he says, "Oh, we've been praying for you." And I looked at Mary Lou, and I said, "Maybe we should leave." That was Rob Styler, by the way, for those of you who remember Rob Styler. And then another man came up who had a beard also, whose name was Mike, and I introduced myself and said, I'm Mike. And I said, oh, you're Ed Tafalowski's friends. We've been praying for you. And I said, what did we do wrong? I wasn't sure. So we settled into the service. Now, Ed was standing where that back wall was, and when we walked in, his jaw dropped. I'm very honest with you. He told me afterwards he was ready to give up on us. Thank God he didn't. Thank God Jesus didn't. Because at that service, we heard Ken Kirby preach a message about God's grace and love and his holiness and our need for Jesus Christ. And it was at that service we both received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, the reason why I give you that background is only is to say this, that Jesus was after me the whole time. I was just too stupid to realize it in the beginning. All right. How gracious God is that Jesus never gave up on me. And he'll never give up on you. And he was always a gentleman about it. You know, he never forced himself on me. He never, you know, arm twisted me. And I was fortunate. I didn't have anybody who wanted to argue me into the kingdom of God. But it was always through a very gentle, loving, respectful relationship that it happened. So every journey is different, isn't it? You have your journey. I'm giving you mine. But timelines are valuable just to reflect back, not to live in the past, but to reflect back and say, I can see how God was working each step of the way. And then, you know, that day in November when we finally gave our lives to Christ in repentance and faith, I said, why did I wait so long? You know, I don't know if that happened to you, but why did I wait so long? This passage, I think, gives us a lot of insight. We need to know how Jesus values us, how Jesus loves us, and to what extent he will go. Bear in mind, this was on that Easter day. The two men were walking towards Emmaus. By the way, the word Emmaus means hot springs, so they must have had hot springs there. About seven and a half miles from Jerusalem. That would have been about a little over a two-hour walk, by the way. And in the Mideast, you only traveled during the day because at night it was too dangerous. You get mugged, just like in the old days of Central Park, right? You didn't go in after dark. You would get mugged and it would be dangerous. So the scripture says they were discouraged, doesn't it? Here, let me show you. It says, now the same day the two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other. The American translation doesn't do this justice. Literally, this would read, they were in very deep discussion with one another. Did you ever get into a deep discussion, right? There's a difference between just talking and then a deep discussion. This was a deep discussion about everything that would happen. They were trying to figure this all out. As they walked in, they discussed these things with each other. Jesus came up himself and started walking with them. Wow, that blows my mind. That blows my mind. Because you know what happened? When I used to look at my mother watching Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and reading her Bible, Jesus was alongside of me. I didn't realize it. When I got hooked with Jesus of Nazareth, Zeffirelli's film, Jesus was there with me. I just didn't recognize him at that point. And that poor guy in the cafeteria at Rutgers, boy, if I see him in heaven, I got to apologize to him. But Jesus was sitting at the table with us. You see? Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, I don't understand the ramifications of that statement. Were they kept by their own confusion from recognizing him? Did Jesus not want to reveal himself at this point? Was it to see if they would believe without seeing? I don't know. All I know is in my own timeline, I just didn't recognize him at that point in time. And so, Jesus seeks us. He also has a habit of asking engaging questions, doesn't he? What are you two discussing? Jesus knew what they were discussing. What are you discussing as you walk along? They stood still. Their faces were downcast. Everyone's face, unless you're putting on a mask, everyone's face will tell you where they're at. All right. A.W. Tozer once wrote in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, that when he is in New York City and he's walking down one of the main streets, in this case it was Broadway, in New York City. He says, I can point out all the Christians because they have the saddest faces. Isn't that sad? What a commentary. But our faces will disclose where we're at. And it says, they stood still, their faces downcast. That word downcast just doesn't mean down. It's from shepherding, and that's a point where a sheep will lay on its back, and a sheep has no muscular system to get it back on its feet again. And if it's left that way for a long time, it will die unless the shepherd intervenes. And when the shepherd finds a downcast sheep, he has to massage its legs and gently roll it on its side so it doesn't put the sheep into shock, because all the blood rushes to the lungs and heart, the sheep starts suffocating. And so the shepherd with great care will upright the sheep after a while, and the sheep is no longer downcast. These guys were hurting. These guys were discouraged. They were despondent, if I could put it that way. Since one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to what? Redeem Israel. They were looking for a savior who was going to defeat the enemies of Israel, a militant savior. That was the common thing back then, correct? They wanted a militant savior. They were blinded by that to see and remember what the scriptures said about the Savior who was coming. And what is more, it is the third day since all these things took place. And he says, in addition, some of our women went and saw the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. And you know the story. And he said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is crucial. Not only does Jesus seek us, but he will walk with us if we let him. Isn't that true? He will walk with us if we let him. One of the most popular things that came out years ago, if you remember, were the footprints in the sand. Right? And it's a story about somebody going through a hard time, and there was only one set of footprints. And he says, Jesus, where were you? And Jesus says, I was carrying you. Those were my footprints. And so he will walk with us when we let him. And not only he will walk with us, he wants to become part of our discussion. That's why he's asking the questions. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to tell him what's going on. Oh. One of the things I was pleasantly surprised with on Wednesday when we were at the recreation center was I had a real good conversation with our mayor. He's a really nice guy. He took a genuine interest in us. And that impressed me that he was interested in us. How much more should it impress us that Jesus is interested in you? Before that day, the mayor didn't know my name. But before I was born, Jesus knew mine. And so he wants to be part of that discussion. They had misconceptions about who Jesus was. God's plan and timing is not our plan and timing, is it? Thank God. But you notice what Jesus did. He brought them back to the Word. How foolish. How slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. He said, you could have seen me on every page in the Old Testament, especially the prophets. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said and the scriptures concerning himself. In some senses, I wish I was there, because this had to be one of the most powerful sermons that Jesus gave. To open up the Word of God. And who opened it up? The living Word of God. And to say, here it is. It's all in front of you. This is who I am. Moses talked about me. David talked about me. Solomon talked about me. Isaiah talked about me. And so on and so forth. It's all there. Another way of saying that is that Jesus gives us hope through his word. They were downcast. And now he brings them back to his word. And now he wants to give them hope. He explained the scriptures clearly and accurately. He gave them the Old Testament course in the scriptures himself. He gave them a chance to trust what the scriptures say about him. Listen to me. This is not antiquated. This has application for today and will continue to have application for today. When it is interpreted rightly. Catch that? When it is interpreted rightly. Look how this progresses. As they approached the village they were going to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. Isn't that something? I mean, Jesus didn't presume that they were going to want him to stay. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. For it is nearly evening, the day is almost over, so he went in and he stayed with them. When Billy Graham would preach at times, he would say this, you're here today. You're hearing about Jesus. Don't let him pass you by. Did you ever hear him saying that? Don't let him pass you by. Because there's a sense in my own timeline where I heard about Jesus and I let him go. I let him pass by. I let him pass by. Don't let him pass by. Whether you're seeking him or you're a believer, don't let him pass by. You know what? Here we are today, and I'm not a fatalist, but I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Neither do you. Don't let him pass you by. So they said, look, something was happening within their hearts, and they said, stay with us. So he stayed with them. When he was at the table, he broke bread, gave the thanks, and broke it again, and gave it to them. It says, then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. Wow. Now, why did it happen that way? I don't know. I do know this, that when you have dinner with somebody, you really get to know them. Isn't that true? I don't think this was the Lord's table that was being celebrated here. In a sense it was, but not officially within, you know, the church. But Jesus was the guest, and something happened at that communion, at the table. By communion, I mean, they were talking with Jesus, they were experiencing him, then all of a sudden, it dawned on them. Just like it dawned on me at that service in November. I'm going to say it right this time. The bulb went on. The bulb went on. And at that service, Mary Lou and I knew we needed Christ in our lives, and we received him by faith. And repentance. Jesus will open our hearts if we let him. He opens our hearts as we have his truth in our hearts and we stay in intimate communion with him. He will give us hope that's anchored in his love, his grace, and his truth. This is an incredible picture of Jesus' love and grace for people. This blows my mind. He helps us to trust his word. He turns the darkness of a sunset into a dawn. Remember the time of day? They were walking. The sun was setting. It was late in the day. They were downcast. But now that didn't matter anymore. They had the sun, S-U-N, in their hearts through the sun, S-O-N, of God. Isn't that incredible? Did you ever have a dark day? You ever been downcast? All right. Now, This is not a pejorative statement. This is just a statement from experience. Why are we so stubborn that we won't let Jesus walk with us through it? That we stop hearing or reading his word? That we stop having communion with Jesus in prayer when that's the very thing we need? Because only then can Jesus take the darkness and turn it to dawn. Huh. And when I say that, please don't misinterpret that. Don't take it to mean that Jesus is going to do everything that you want him to do. It means that he's going to walk with you. He's going to show you what he wants you to do and where he wants you to go so that he's glorified and your faith is built up. He will empower us to share a testimony. I want you to look what happened after this. Look, first look at the response. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? One of the things I'm real sad about today, and I'll be very honest with you, is that the typical attention span of a person in America is 15 minutes. 15 minutes. How sad. Because Jesus must have walked with them for at least an hour and a half. At least. If I preached an hour and a half, you'd walk out. But are we devaluing the power of the Word of God? Are we devaluing the power of the Holy Spirit? And sometimes I have to understand, you don't want to hear me go on forever. I understand that. I'm not saying you should. But I am saying is that when we're not present together, when we're not hearing the Word of God, when the Word of God isn't explained to us, we all lose. We all lose. It is strange that we can sit through a three-hour baseball game. It is strange we can sit through a 3 or 4 hour football game or a hockey game or a concert. But when it comes to the most important life-giving thing, we have problems with attention spans. Look what their reaction was. They got up immediately, the scripture says. They got up. It was getting dark. And at the risk of their own lives, they returned at once to Jerusalem. Why? They had some great news. They found the 11, assembled there, and they just told their story. That encounter with Jesus turned them from downcast, discouraged people into people who experienced the love and grace of Jesus firsthand, who want to tell the story. You know what Christianity is? Christianity is show and tell. Show people Jesus through your life, through him working in your life, and then tell them about it. That's exactly what's going on here. At their own risk, in darkness. So I got a question for you. In view of the magnificent love and grace of Jesus, the question this morning is, will you invite Jesus into your discouragement? Some of you may be here discouraged. Will you invite him into that? Will you let him walk with you through it? He's seeking to be with you. He wants to walk with you in your journey. He wants to give you hope through his word. He wants to open your heart. Will you give him the opportunity to turn your hopelessness into hope and confirmation of his love and grace for you? You're the only ones that can answer that. Will you do that today? That's why you'll hear me say at times, God is good. And sometimes somebody will say, no, Pastor, God is great. How would you respond? Say it like you're alive. When I did, I had the opportunity to co-officiate Matthew and Kathy's wedding out in Pennsylvania. And Kathy's pastor was a great guy. He was in his 70s. With his energy level, you think he was in his 40s. And he came out to the pulpit during the wedding, and he's looking around, and he said, "I want to welcome you all. Are you the frozen chosen?" You know what he was saying by that? You may be believers, but you're not showing it. You know, it's like you're kind of frozen there. We're there. How about us? Jesus seeks us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to give us hope through his word. He wants to open our hearts. Are you bold enough to stand now and give him praise? Would you stand, please?